My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we're going to start our celebration this morning of All Saints Day. I want you to take time now, and I want you to look at the rest of the people who are in this church. So take a few moments here, turn around, take a look at all those who have gathered here today. And I want you to think about, what are you seeing? And I'll tell you what I see, including myself here with you. I see about 200 sinners. Men, women, children. Miserable, hopeless sinners. That's what we are. Who have earned the righteous wrath of Almighty God and deserve eternal punishment. 200 men, women, and children who look nice enough. Mr. Geiser, you look very handsome this morning. They seem to be good people, like Steve over there. But deep down, we have bodies and souls that have been thoroughly corrupted by sin. If you have ever read, or if you have ever attempted to read the book of Revelation that St. John was blessed to share with us, you will discover that it's probably one of the most difficult books of the Bible to read. You know, in comparison to the four Gospels, the Gospels seem relatively easy for us. Jesus did this, Jesus did that, Jesus died for our sins, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. But when you start to read the book of Revelation, we run into all sorts of visions, and they're very strange visions. We read of great wars, and there's frightening beasts, and there's every sort of wickedness that we could think of. We read about the great turmoil that will take place in the last times before the end of the world. Much of what we read in Revelation, if you put it mildly, is pretty depressing when you think about it. But by the time you reach chapter 7, which is our focus today, many readers lose heart and they stop reading. And they never finish that book in the final chapters. And that's really a shame, because in chapter 7, St. John was inspired to describe a scene of comfort. When John wrote Revelation, the Christian church was facing a lot of persecution. And there were attacks upon them from everywhere. Christians were being arrested. They were being interrogated. They were being tortured. And many of them were being murdered. John would later become the only one of the original disciples to die a natural death from old age, because every other disciple had long since suffered death, either by crucifixion or beheading or being stoned to death, and according to some accounts, some of them were sawed in two. And so the book of Revelation is a series of visions, and they're revealed by God to John. And the theme of this final book of the Bible can be summarized in two words, very simply: God wins. God wins. For sin, death, and the devil are defeated. Christ's church reigns triumphant and enjoys an eternity with her Savior, the Savior who has loved her to death, even death on the cross. And so the Christian church is under the protection of God today, because he has sealed them so that they will remain firm in their faith. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we find these words: "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." John also wrote in verse 9 of our text today that he saw a great multitude which no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, and standing before the throne of God, before the Lamb. And they were clothed Pastor Allman, what color were their robes? They were white, yes, with palm branches in their hand. In today's world, there's a lot of people who think that they will earn a place in that great multitude by their good works. But we must always remember that they stand there only because of the grace of God. And they are not there because they are strong or they were heroic. And even if we have those qualities, that's not going to do us any good either. They stand before the throne of God and the Lamb because, as John writes, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I thought, wow, wouldn't that be something if Procter & Gamble came up with a new laundry soap? Wash your clothes in the blood of the Lamb, and they will become white. But these garments were white, and that is, they were holy. Not because of anything that they had done, but because, and entirely because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That was the blood of Christ that ran from those nail holes in his hands and his feet. That was the blood of Christ that ran from the wounds on his back made by the whips and the wounds on his head that were made by that crown of thorns. That blood that gushed from his body also when that soldier rammed his spear into his side. And that blood we also receive here too this day at the altar rail, each and every week when we celebrate communion. It is that sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And those who stand in this great multitude are holy. And we are holy too. Christian holiness is not a moral quality. It is a holiness that we receive from Christ. As I said earlier, as I look out upon the congregation this morning, you know, I see about 200 sinners worshiping at Trinity this morning. But at the same time, I also see 200 saints. Many people have the misunderstanding that a saint can only be someone who has died and their soul is now with their Lord in heaven. But that's not what God's word clearly tells us. Our English word for saint is a translation from the Greek, which means one who is holy. So as you look around this morning, every one of you is 100% a sinner, but at the same time, you are still 100% a saint. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and that is something that we celebrate this day. In fact, according to our lesson today, from that chapter 7 of Revelation, the celebration has already begun because great multitudes have gathered in heaven around the throne of the Lamb. We are one body of Christ, and we have a very mystical union with all believers. There are those believers who have gone on to glory, and in a few minutes I'm going to have the privilege and honor of sharing the names of those people in this service who passed away during this last year. Some of those names you'll be familiar with. Some of them you may not be. But then there are those believers who continue, as we do, as we struggle here on earth. And that includes all of us. We call the saints on earth the church militant. Why? Because we're at war with three things: the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And the saints who have gone on to glory are the church triumphant. And they are at rest now from all that fighting and struggling. On this day, we're going to rejoice and we're going to celebrate the victory that they partake in. St. Paul addresses the Christians in his letters as saints, as holy ones, for they belong to God and they stay with God. And just as we belong to God and we stay with him also. That's what our baptisms were all about. God has made us his own. It was at our baptism that we were clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness. And no matter whether we were baptized as a newborn infant, as many of you were, or in my case, as an adult, and I was going to use the term mature, but that probably doesn't qualify, right, Dick? We became a saint, and we became holy when God took us to be his own. We added nothing to our baptism, for the triune God, who was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he did everything that was necessary at that time. And then we come to the final three verses of our reading from St. John. And it says this about the multitude that stands before the throne of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. Why? Because the Lamb is in the midst of that throne, and that Lamb will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Pastor Hesse, you've been in the ministry for a while. Often you hear those words preached at what? Can you tell me? That's right. Those words are often shared with us at funerals. But they could not be more appropriate for us today, this All Saints Day, as we observe it. For even as God dries the tears of those who have preceded us in death, he dries our tears also. As we wait, and as we look forward to the day when we will be reunited, we call it Judgment Day, when in new and glorified and resurrected eternal bodies, we saints shall join those saints, and we will stand for eternity before the throne of the Lamb. I'd like to share this story with you. I'm sure Pastor Allman and Pastor Hesse may have had these same kinds of experiences, or this particular one. There was a pastor who was told about a member of his church whose son had unexpectedly died at a very young age. And as you would expect, the father was grieving tremendously over the death of his son. The pastor, as is true of all pastors, had no magical remedy to take away that man's pain. And so he gently spoke to the father about the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And that father was comforted. He was comforted by the promise, and he told the pastor that he was thankful to know that his son was with the Savior. And so he rejoiced in the knowledge of that resurrection. But then, with tears streaming down his face, the father said, "The problem is, I still want him here with me." It was at this point that the pastor reminded the father of the words that are prayed in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Specifically, the proper preface, which ends with these words: "There, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and we magnify your glorious name." And that pastor explained to that father that when we come to communion rail, God unites us with our fellow believers, also with our departed ones, in a way that obviously our eyes cannot see, but we know that they are with us. Because our loved ones join us at that communion rail in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Why? Because it is a wonderful high feast, and it is celebrated here with God's saints on earth, and it's also being celebrated with God's saints in heaven. So we need to remember this morning, my dear friends, that to take comfort in the unity that we have with our loved ones who have gone before us in Christ. For they, as we do, join in that endless song of praise to Christ who loved them even unto death, even death on a cross. For it is, and it always will be, exactly as St. John wrote in his vision. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out to it with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around that throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And those are wonderful, key, comforting words for us to remember this day as we celebrate All Saints' Day. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding and all our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.